This was odd, very odd. I turned my eyes on Slim and studied his face for some hint of what the heck we were doing in another man's pasture. Right away, I began amassing clues. Clue number one. He had a toothpick parked on the right side of his mouth. Usually, he parked his toothpicks on the left side of his mouth, so this might have meant something profoundical. Or maybe not. Clue number two. He squinted his eyes and looked off in the distance. Clue number three. He slowed the pickup to a crawl. Clue number four. He rubbed his chin and said, "Now, if I was a bird dog, where would I go?" Huh? The pickup was moving again. I turned to Drover and lowered my voice. "Drover, I don't want to alarm you, but we've just gotten word that our orders have changed. It appears that we're now on a mission to find Plato."
"I'll be darned. I thought we decided it was too dangerous because of all the wild hogs and stuff. Oh, and we don't like Plato."
"You and I reached that decision, Drover, but they've gone over our heads on this one, and we may have no choice." "You're chewing your paw again, Drover. Did you see a deadly moonbeam?"
"No, I'm scared and I just..."
"Drover, you're being weird."
"Yeah, but it helps."
"No kidding? To tell you the truth, I'm feeling a little..." Suddenly and all at once, Slim slammed on the brakes, throwing us out of our seats and into the dashboard. We landed in a heap on the floor. What was going on? Had Slim seen something? I scrambled back onto the seat and met his, yipes, angry glare. "Quit chewing your paws in my pickup. If you've got fleas, chew them on your own time." "Well, sure, but the problem went much deeper than, 'I can't stand to hear y'all hacking on your paws. Don't you have anything else to eat?'" Once again, he had missed the whole point of the exercise. I went to slow taps on the tail section and tried to explain. "See, it was just a simple case of nerves. Jitters. Pre-combat jitters. And then we had the whole problem of deadly moon..." He wasn't interested in hearing the truth, and that was fine with me because I wasn't sure I could explain it anyway. So I turned to Drover. "Well, your weird habits have gotten us in trouble again. How many times have I told you not to chew your paws in public?"
"I thought you said..."
"It's noisy, uncouth, and disgusting. How would you like it if Slim chewed his paws all the time?"
"Yeah, but he doesn't have paws."
"That's my whole point, Drover. Slim doesn't have paws, so how would you like it if he chewed something he doesn't have?"
"Well, I guess don't argue with me. Just say you're sorry and let's get on with our lives."
"You're sorry." "Thanks. That wasn't so bad, was it?"
"No, I feel better already. But I still want to chew my paw."
I looked deeply into the vast emptiness of his eyes and was about to give him a serious tongue lashing when all at once... holy smokes, my head was being drawn and pulled down towards my, towards my left front paw, almost as though some mysterious force had seized it. I shot a glance at Slim. He wasn't watching. His eyes came at me like balls of fire. "Quit chewing your dadgum paws and get out of my dadgum pickup." He stopped the pickup. Well, gee whiz, he didn't need to. You know what he did? He threw us out the door, both of us. I was shocked. I mean, he didn't want us chewing our paws. All he had to do was... Oh, well, I didn't care. It had seemed stuffy in his pickup anyway, and did I mention that the cab of his pickup stunk? Stunked. It smelled bad, and I was happy to get out into the fresh air. After this shocking display of childish behavior, Slim unloaded his horse and tightened the cinch.
Then he called us over. I trotted over to him. He buckled on his chaps and hitched up his jeans.
Okay, dogs. We're here to look for Billy's bird dog. Find Plato, you hear? Y'all check out the thickets and brush in the bottom of the draw, and I'll ride along on the east side. Take care of your business and don't run off.
So it was true. We had been brought out here to look for the birdly wonder. What a waste. I couldn't believe we were doing this. And something else I couldn't believe was that Beulah continued to have some odd affection for the dummy. I mean, no cow dog in history had ever lost his way home, and no bird dog in history had ever composed poems as good. Oh, well. My job paid the same, whether we were doing meaningful work or searching for lost bird dogs. I shoved these thoughts to the back of my mind, put my nose to the ground, and switched all circuits over to smello radar. Right away, I began picking up the smells of, well, not much, actually. Cows, skunk brush, wild plum leaves, aromatic sagebrush, and ragweed, but not even a whiff of anything resembling a bird dog scent. Oh, and no coyote scent either, which was sure fine with me. I mean, with Slim riding nearby, I didn't have to worry too much about being jumped by coyotes, but still, a guy doesn't want to... Singing? I went to full air brakes and lifted my ears and began scanning the horizon for sounds. Okay, it appeared to be coming from Slim, who was riding through some sagebrush hills on the other side of the draw. He was singing, if you can believe that. Something like this.
A cowboy's life is wild and free. Adventure is always at hand. If we ain't hauling hay or milking a cow, we're digging post holes in the sand. There's welding to do and garbage to haul and painting a barn in the sun. But for purity excitement, it's hard to compete with hunting for bird dogs on November 1. Got me a couple of partners for this. They're loyal and try to be strong. The trouble is that when the brains were passed out, old Hanky and Drover were gone. They're dumb, but they like me. We're pretty good pals. We have ourselves barrels of fun. Now quail season's opened, and what shall we do? We're hunting for bird dogs on November 1. They're dumb, but they like me. We're pretty good pals. We have ourselves barrels of fun. Now quail season's opened, and what shall we do? We're hunting for bird dogs on November 1.
When he'd finished his... whatever it was, song, I suppose. When he'd finished singing his pitiful little song, he looked at us and grinned.
Now, ain't that about the finest song y'all dogs ever heard?
I stared at him in disbelief. Was he trying to be funny? That was about the dumbest song I'd ever heard. Certainly the dumbest I'd heard since his last dumb song. He seemed to think he was a great composer or something, and also a great singer. Ha! He didn't know beans about either one, but that didn't keep him from coming up with corny songs. He had his nerve suggesting that we dogs were gone the day the brains were passed out. I had never been so insulted. Oh, And if he was so smart, how come we were out hunting for the neighbor's skinny stick-tail bird dog instead of doing something constructive? If they'd ask my opinion... Oh, well. I can't allow myself to get worked up over all the injustice in the world. I'll say no more about it. Yes, I will. Some people seem to think that we dogs have an easy life. Chew bones, sleep all day, bark at a few cars. Well, nothing could be further from the truth. Don't forget that we're forced to listen to our masters sing songs that are insulting and corny. Wait a minute, hold everything. Corny, corn, hominy. Was this some kind of hidden clue that might propel the case in an entirely new direction? I shot a glance at Drover to see if he had picked it up. No, of course he hadn't, for the simple reason that he wasn't in the privy of my thought processes, and therefore just skip it. Where were we? Oh yes, on a pointless mission to find a bird dog I didn't want to find, to save an old enemy I didn't want to save, and to waste valuable time I didn't want to waste. But there we were, and we had been ordered to... All at once, I was picking up some new signals on Smello radar. I lowered my sensing divisors and punched in the commands for deep sniff. Yes, this was something new, and it promised to blow the case wide open. And you know what? It did.